DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 174, Thursday, 20th of September 2008. Show with M Control from Embedded Automation. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show we'll be talking to David Schulitz, one of the developers behind the open source Open Media Library project. This is an open source project to bring a movie browser application to Media Center, not unlike the Nivius movie browser and some other movie applications for Media Center. Find out what it does and how you can get involved. I also have a roundup of the news and your email. Let's first go to email, and this is from John. Hi Ian, I put some DivX into my videos folder recently, and now I've found that whenever I pick on my videos from the main menu, the screen flicks back to the desktop, then back into Media Center for a few seconds, then crashes out completely. Any clues what could be causing this, and if I've done something wrong, and how do I stop it happening in the future? John. Thanks for the email, John. I asked John to check whether Windows Media Player would play the files okay, and he said they were playing okay. So my suggestion to John was to perhaps uninstall and reinstall the DivX codec to see if that helps, or to try an alternative codec. But I've not come across that problem before, so have any of you listeners got any ideas why that would sort of flick in and out of Media Center and then crash? So if you have any ideas, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, let me know, and we'll try and help John out. Please keep the emails coming in. Like I said, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I do like reading out your emails, and it's great if we can help the community out. So now to some of the news items from the past week. First up, an interesting post from Chris Lanier saying that he has a tip that Microsoft is going to be producing some kind of headless Media Center appliance, which Chris was surprised to hear about. I'm surprised too, but I think it does make sense. Back on show 169, Edbot and I discussed that this would be an interesting and a nice, simple way of getting Media Center up and running, as if there was a box, not unlike Windows Home Server, a headless device with a management console that you plugged your tuner card or your aerial into, and you plugged it to the network, and then it would just be an appliance on the network. So I think that is an interesting idea, and maybe if it was some sort of combination with Windows Home Server, it'd be even better. I would like this, but not at the expense of Media Center being part of Vista, because you know a lot of people use it as part of Vista, and that's a way that enthusiasts like to have the control over it. But it is an interesting idea, and it would be nice to see Media Center scale from a CE box to a laptop to the big Nivius system with 10 extenders. So interesting idea if that comes off. Back talking of Edbot. Back on the show 169, he did talk about a Microsoft dilemma with supporting the custom installer market and enthusiasts, and Ed wrote more about that on his blog. He's been reflecting on the dilemma that Microsoft have supporting enthusiasts and OEMs, and how the limited distribution of TV feature pack has upset the community. Ed also looks at the history of Windows Media Center and digs into the story of TV Feature Pack, and as ever with Ed, it's a good read, and I definitely recommend you read that, so I'll link for that in the show notes. Over on CE Pro, they have an article on why Windows Media Center needs an alliance for the integrated channel. We talked to Intel's Greg Schlechter, a director of the announced Media Center Integrated Alliance, back on show 172, and I think the alliance is a good idea if it focuses attention on Media Center, as long as that's not at the expense of the enthusiasts. Innovations from the custom channel can get passed down to the enthusiast community, which is great, but there are a lot of innovations coming from the enthusiasts as well. And like we mentioned before, Microsoft do have a difficult balance act between the needs of the OEMs and the custom installer market and enthusiasts. Anyway, CE Pro have the details on that, and I'll link for that in the show notes. In fact, an interesting comment from Mike on the blog post that I did on that one. He said, great, another announcement of an alliance for Media Center. There have been many before, and as long as there are idle marketing types, there will be others after this. In the meantime, Media Center concept keeps getting the rug pulled under it by all parties. And he gives some examples, and check out his comments on the post on the blog. Related to the Windows CE set-top box, Richard Miller reminded me of Microsoft's last attempt at a CE Media Center device. This was the LG LRM519. It was a set-top box with Media Center as the UI that could download EPG data, and you could record TV on it, and it would turn the TV back to XP Media Center, and it looked like it was going to be a really popular device. And when you have a look at the specs, a link for that in the show notes, you'll see it looks interesting. And perhaps if it was something that had just been recently released and branded as a Vista device, then there would be some interest in that. And I think I did see one back at CES in 2006, but since then I've heard nothing of it, and I guess it should have been a success, but I'm not even sure whether it got released. But have a look at the video as well, link for that in the show notes. A new application news, new add-in news. I'm always on the lookout for new applications and add-ins for Media Center, and combine a native Vista Media Center application with Drink and you're definitely on a winner. My Drinks is a Vista Media Center application. It's actually an upgrade of the XP version from a couple of years ago, completely rewritten for Vista, and it's an application for finding out different drinks, what's in different cocktails, the ingredients for the cocktails, and it's a really nice application. Like I said, native Vista application, and you can put in the drink, so you type Harvey Wallbanger and it'll tell you the ingredients, or you can go the other way around, you can start off with the ingredient and it'll tell you what drinks it'll go in. Nice fun application, and maybe interesting if you're having a party, and that's something to talk about. So it's a freeware application, and you can download that from the link in the show notes. An interesting article this week about the ATSE group choosing H.264 for digital transmission. And Derek Flickinger sent me an email asking, I wonder if this was the reason why H.264 support was dropped from TV Feature Pack, as Microsoft knew about the impending change, that this would cause issues for them and for the platform, and they're going to want to get it right for when these changes need to be implemented, rather than putting the H.264 out now. And I'm not sure if that is the reason, and a few commenters on the blog have said it probably isn't, but it's interesting to see that H.264 looks like it's going to be the standard for digital TV in the future, and Media Center is going to have to support it, as FreeSat in the UK is using it for the HD channels, and there's talk of DVB-T, the next version of DVB-T in the UK, using it as well. So that support's going to have to come soon, and Microsoft are going to have to get on with that. But it's certainly not going to be something that's but it's not something that's there at the moment. Finally, I want to mention, don't forget, I'm looking for add-in reviews to put on the site. So if you want to review a Media Center application and add-in, and then we can put it in the add-in sections that I'm building for on the digitallifestyle.com, please let me know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. And I'm going to look at giving away some free software as a reward for doing the reviews. Basically, I'm going to build up a big database of community-reviewed applications. And this could be the basis for the future Media Center Show Awards. So I really want to get as many reviews as I can on there. So if you fancy just reviewing just a few paragraphs, that's fine. It doesn't have to be a great long review. Just basically what it does. Does it do what it says it does? And maybe a screenshot if you can do one. Then let me know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. You can find all the links talked about today on the blog, and you can email me, and I'll like reading your email out. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/isdixon. There's more people going on there now. I think it's pretty cool seeing people on there, and if you follow me, I'll follow you back. Right, now it's time for the interview, and this is David Schulitz. David, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Thank you.
I'm going to be talking today about Open Media Library, and I've seen a few posts about this. I've seen some stuff on the green button, so I thought we'd get one of you guys to come and talk about it. Now, it's a project that there's a few of you working on, so just explain what your role on the project is.
Well, so my role is as a programmer. When I initially got involved with the project, it was kind of a framework. Or a skeleton framework, I should say. And the MCML part was something that I had struggled with quite a bit, trying to develop for Media Center. And so when this became available and went open source, it was something that I could really kind of sink my teeth into to see both how the UI had been designed as well as, you know, take it in a direction on the back end side that I knew that I had some more expertise in.
Mm. So what is Open Media Library?
The goal for Open Media Library is to create or provide, I should say, a central location for viewing, cataloging, and managing your film content for Vista Media Center.
Right. So this is somewhere you'd put your ripped DVDs onto your Media Center machine, and this is how you've then viewed
those.
Correct.
And you know, we're trying to be a little bigger than that at the moment. Currently, I am able to play high definition MKV files or H.264 files using OML for short, as we call it. Mm. DVDs as image files of various formats, as well as ripped DVDs as video TS files. Pretty much anything that your machine through Media Player is going to be able to play, we can catalog, manage, and play for you.
Mm. So this is a Media Center UI then that it operates as an add-in for Media Center.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is exclusively a plugin for Vista Media Center.
How long has the project been going now?
It's been about 3 months, I think. It started out about 3 months ago with really just two of us, King Manon and myself. King Manon, I actually don't know the real names of most of the people on the project. These are names I'm familiar with through the Green Button. And him and I were both kind of clamoring for access to the source at the same time. And he was looking more for a project management perspective, and I was looking more to just get my hands into the code. And that was, about 3 months ago. We've expanded to about 10 programmers, about four of which are active on a very, you know, heavily active on a daily basis.
Who started the project then?
So all I have is the name. And that would be Eek Bryan, it's probably not his real name exactly. He goes by the handle Double Down 768 on the Green Button.
Uh-huh.
And he actually, when he initially posted some screenshots and the source code on the Green Button for this, it was in a response to a thread that I had actually started a few days earlier when Nivius released their a beta of their movie player.
Mm.
And I had made a few posts on the Green Button about it, and he took that and said, you know, this is great, but it's limited in scope to who can access it and use it. And he put together a quick little mimic of the user interface using his own files, and that was really where it started.
Mm. So the application as well has been an add-in for Media Center. From the screenshots I've seen, it's a very visual application. You've got things like cover art, and is the idea that you have all your content in various formats, and this is the way that you would access it and get sort of the information like the the CD, the DVD covers, and that kind of thing.
That is precisely the goal. For some of our users, the content is across multiple machines. For myself personally, I have everything on one machine. But the formats are, you know, it's a pretty wide spectrum of files. And the goal was to kind of allow for everything to be in one accessible place. And so that you as the user didn't really have to concern yourself with what format the file, the content was in, or where it came from. If you could get to it, or if your machine could get to it in some way, then we would do our best to display it seamlessly and play it.
So where does the metadata come from? Because that's always something that's sort of hard to, the hard part of it, you know, where you get all this information from.
That is, in fact, the difficult part. currently we're not scraping, as it were, or collecting metadata directly ourselves. We have written importers for a list of popular products on the market, including MyMovies, which is another popular product that currently has a Media Center 2005 interface. We also import from DVD Profiler, MovieCollectors.com. We have a plugin for DVRMS files that loads all the metadata from those, as well as one of our other, the other senior programmer on the project is Chiranu, who is somewhat well known for his DVD Library Manager program. And he's written plugins for that as well. So all of the DVD XML style files are imported. We're going to be looking in the future at direct metadata loading from IMDb or Amazon or some of these other places. There are some interesting caveats about how you can collect that data in a way that is approved and acceptable by some of these companies. But there are definite safe and legal routes to do that.
So at the moment, you're kind of working on the fact you import all your content in, and then you import the metadata as well.
Correct. Yeah, from these other sources, and we've also developed in line with the plugin application. We'll be releasing with it a full-blown Windows application that allows you to catalog and edit your films, manage the database, and alter the metadata as you see fit.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So you can edit and tweak it and get it to suit whatever you want.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned about the fact that it works from multiple locations. So so this would work with something like, say, you've got a Windows Home server with a load of content on. You can aggregate the content from that in with your regular Media Center content.
That's correct. We haven't at this point began to develop very specific hooks for some of the functionality that Home Server currently offers Media Center, but we definitely do support network shares and that sort of thing. We will definitely in the future be planning very specific support for some of these other network shared products.
Yeah, because network share is, I mean, people are throwing loads of content onto NASs and home servers and other sort of specialist storage boxes. So it's nice to be able to bring all that content together in one UI.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I guess then you could also support that on multiple machines as well. So you could have two Media Center machines looking at the same content and you'd see the user interface on both machines.
Yes, yes. Right now, the way we've designed things, you could absolutely do that by using a copy of the same database file that we've developed. But in the future, we're actually going to be looking at moving to a services-based data provider for the back end so that multiple Media Center machines and extender devices will be able to simply go to a localized data repository somewhere on your home network to receive all of its data.
Right, I see. So you've kind of got two parts to the program then. You've got the front-end UI, which does look really nice, and then you've got sort of the back-end database element of it.
Right, yeah. Initially, they were kind of one and the same, and there's been a fair delay since the initial announcement of this particular project and any kind of, you know, public release. And so, you know, I've seen a number of posts on the Green Button and other places kind of asking, can you give us a release date or some kind of inclination on when this is coming out? And really, it's just, you know, it took us almost a month and a half initially simply to completely divorce the UI part from the back end and then flesh the back end out for support for things like extender devices and, you know, multiple incoming data points from various companies and developing a nice plugin system so that we'll be releasing an SDK along with OML. And the SDK will allow anyone to write small DLLs to, you know, if they have metadata in a particular place or they have content coming from some area that we haven't already developed for, there's a very small, clean SDK that will allow them to add that on their own.
Right, so I could kind of create my own provider then. So if I had metadata source in one format, or you know, I was putting it out of an RSS feed or whatever, I could create my own provider so that it would be integrated in the application.
Absolutely, yeah. And all they would have to do is drop the file in the right location, and it'll automatically be picked up and used.
Well, that's quite good. So you could actually use, you could actually kind of publish with it then, I guess, kind of, you know, if you wanted to work as on the service side of things and publishing the metadata, you could use that plugin architecture to be a provider.
Absolutely. And in fact, that is the direction we'll be heading once some of the core functionality is finished and ironed out.
Mm. And then on the UI front, then, like you said, the UI is separated from that, so that is consistent then, no matter what data provider you've got.
Yeah, absolutely. Currently, we are only providing two distinct look and feels, only one of which has actually been seen in screenshots. The other is actually very basic and simple that just gives a nice list of all the titles. But the plan, and we have a settings screen that allows you to flip between the two on the fly without leaving Media Center. In the future, as we add more and more user interface options, they will all simply be available as something that you can flip to at any time to see if you like it or if it's going to work on a particular screen. And we're also working on being able to recognize and save this on a per device basis, so that if you like one particular look and feel on your 360, but you like a much richer or a different look and feel on your primary screen, you can set that one time and then not have to worry about it again.
That's good, especially with everybody using extenders. That was going to be my next question, really, is how does this work with extenders?
It's actually working quite well. It's taken some time for some of the bandwidth and optimization work to go on to really get. I have a 360 personally at home that I've been using for development, and it's taken a while definitely to get the speed where I need it to be or where I feel it needs to be. But I definitely feel at this point things are running pretty smooth. The only problem that I would say that we're probably going to release the initial beta with extenders is that we're still having a little trouble with image files playing across to extenders. It's kind of iffy. It works some of the time, but not all the time. We're still trying to iron out the bugs in that. But other than that, everything else works seamlessly on extenders. We're using plugins for Transcode 360 to support, you know, whatever particular flavor of content you're trying to watch. And we're also using the popular Daemon Tools product for image loading. And all of this is seamless to the user. So it really doesn't matter what type of content you have or what format it's in. The application will automatically determine what the capabilities of your particular device are and run through whatever hoops are necessary in order to play the content.
Well, that's really good, because that's exactly what I'm looking for, because I use extenders all the time. So if I rip my DVDs, my obviously legally owned ones, onto my Media Center machine as VOB files, then would I access that through the application on my extender, and that would just play them as if they were local DVDs?
Absolutely, that's exactly what you'd experience. Now, similar to what other people have found, extenders are not able to gain access to the menus of DVDs, but the primary film will play. And in, after the initial release, we will be looking at creating custom hooks in our application that would allow the user on extenders to change audio track or activate or change subtitles. That won't be a part of the initial release, but it's definitely something we're planning for.
Mm. So this sounds a real way of sort of the issue that everybody seems to have at the moment is how do you stream DVDs onto extenders, and there's different sort of solutions coming around with DVD library, but this seems to be the best way because it wraps all the complexity into sort of behind the scenes so that you just access it through the menu.
Absolutely, yeah. I've actually been watching not only a number of my DVDs, but in fact a number of my high content films in MKV through the extender in high definition, and I haven't had any problems. I'm actually running the extender off a wireless G network, and it seems to work great.
So you can get the MKG files to play okay on the extender?
Absolutely, yeah. The primary media center machine automatically transcodes them
Ah, I see, yeah.
into an MPEG-2 stream. But I haven't had any problems so far. I mean, initially, we certainly had quite a bit just with bandwidth, trying to provide the same rich cover art UI that are seen in screenshots is the same UI that's initially presented to extender devices. And it took a while to get that clean and fast without, you know, some of the delay. But just in the last few weeks, we've been able to kind of clean up the code base and get the image resizing working in a way that it looks clean and it looks exactly the same whether you're on your extender or whether you're on your primary machine.
And I guess it'll work on the other extenders as well, really, just as well.
As far as I'm aware, I don't personally have one. There is another member on the team that has a Linksys extender. I'm not sure which of the two that he has. And that's his primary testing device. And he hasn't reported any problems beyond what we knew about earlier in the project.
Mm. I mean, that's an ideal scenario. I think that's one of the common questions that, you know, everybody gets when you're talking about Media Center is how do you get your DVDs onto the extenders? And so that's a really good solution.
Absolutely, yeah. It was definitely something from the very beginning that we felt was, you know, because initially for us, the project started as an idea about providing for ourselves the basic functionality that we wanted. And it just so happens that the items that we were looking for are items that a lot of people are looking for, such as getting DVDs on extender devices. And so, you know, as we just in the first early weeks began to map out the things that we wanted to do and were planning to do, we started to get an amazing amount of really great feedback from the community on not only did they love the idea, but that they would be very interested in, of course, you know, early testing for it. And would we be, you know, doing public releases of this? And so it was from the very early beginnings, it was very clear that DVDs on extenders was a big plus.
Mm. And just, I don't think, in case anybody's not seen the screenshots, and I include a link for them in the show notes, what's the basic UI like? Or not the basic, you mentioned a basic one, but what's the standard UI like?
The standard UI is very, very similar to the Nivius UI, which is to say that there is a blue, typical Media Center blue bar across the top and bottom that are about 2 inches thick that display basic content. The bottom bar is actually only contains one button, and that would be we've replaced the viewport item that normally Windows Media Center uses with a button that simply displays what's playing now. The button acts similar to the viewport, so you can go down and click on it, and it will bring whatever's currently in the background up to full screen. The top bar provides the name of the current page that you're on, as well as a series of filtering options. And the filtering options are actually quite deep. We allow filtering by a long list of basic metadata points, such as directors, actors, the format of the actual file, runtime, the date that the title was added, the year it was produced, and a bunch of others. We also allow tagging of files, and you can sort and filter by tags. One of the interesting features of the filtering is that they're stackable. So you could select a particular actor and see all the movies that they're in, and then you could further select another actor or a director or something else, and those filters would stack so that you could kind of, you know, continue down the chain to isolate what any particular subset of films that you were looking for. So those are the bars on the top and the bottom. In the main section of the screen, we display basically a wallpaper of box art. We don't currently have, we aren't currently providing access to the users to make any modifications to that. But we have built support for it in the back end, and shortly after initial release, we'll be providing the users the ability to change the number of rows or columns of box art, how big the box art is, and that sort of thing. But it's basically just a wallpaper of box art. And then on the left side of the screen, pretty much from top to bottom, we take an area that's about 4 or so inches wide and darken it up. And that contains all the metadata, or not all, but a subset of metadata for the particular title that's being displayed. So it'll contain the name and the rating and a short synopsis, just so that as you're browsing through all your titles, you can, you know, see the name and get a sense of what it's about if you're not familiar with it.
I mean, from the screenshots I've seen, it does look really nice. And I think you mentioned earlier on, it's all done in Media Center Market language, so it's as rich as sort of the rest of the Media Center UI.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the entire UI is done in MCML. And as far as I have any plans, all future UIs, and there will definitely be more UI options in the future, they'll all be done in MCML.
So, question then, why make the project open source? Because I could see that, you know, that there would be a commercial interest in this kind of thing.
You know, there's definitely that. But I think the idea about the project initially, when DoubleDown 768 initially released his early kind of screenshots and code for this, he was really coming from an answer, the community's response to the wonderful product developed by Nivius. But that response, at least from the way that I saw it, was that the community was really asking for something for everyone. And while this product from Nivius is a beautiful product, and I'm sure it works fantastic, I don't know since I don't have one of their machines personally, he was really looking to answer the everyone else's question. And so when I initially joined the project, I definitely felt that that was very important, that this needed to be something that everyone had access to. I have been on and off active personally in open source development for about 10 years now on various projects. And so it's certainly something I have a background in. And, you know, I'm sure that we could, you know, have asked for money or made this a closed source project. But the biggest help for me when it was initially released was, you know, I got access to some MCML code that I had been struggling with, and it really allowed me to sink my teeth in and talk to other people who were developing with it and ask questions and learn. And I think that, you know, for me, it was a fantastic experience. It continues to be a great experience, and I would never want to take that away from anyone else.
Well, it's a fantastic thing for the community to have this, because it's a definite area that's missing in Media Center, and it's not likely to be added to Media Center in the near future. I mean, I know Charlie Owen posted on it and said it was a personal comment, but you know, you can pretty much see that it's not something that Microsoft are going to be looking at in the near future.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, and I can definitely understand the business reasons for that. In my day job, I work for a large software development company. And, you know, there are, you know, there's been a lot of talk about some other topics in the Media Center community recently, and some animosity going back and forth. But there are definite business rules that apply, and there are definitely relationships that go on that allow us as an open source project to go in directions that Microsoft or some other large company, you know, despite what their users might ask for, there are a lot of hurdles for them to do some of the features that we're doing. And so, you know, if we're in a position to provide that to the community, then we're thrilled to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that the community can then feedback into it, because I guess the benefit of being a small team working on it is you get the feedback and you can incorporate that straight into the product.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've already had some users who are downloading the source code from our repository almost daily and providing feedback, and have helped find, you know, a number of bugs that we didn't notice. It's been a great experience.
And what's the current state of the project there? So you must be getting close to a sort of an initial release, a beta
release
anyway.
We are very, very close. We closed down open development last Sunday, and that led into basically just bug fixing, speed issues, and you know, polishing up any corners that were overly rough. So we're in discussions among the team about when everyone feels that their part is ready. We've kind of segmented different aspects of the project, kind of assigned to specific people. But we've been really against the idea of giving a specific date, of
course.
Yeah,
sure.
But I think it would be fair to assume that the first release will probably be sometime in this calendar week.
They'll be out by the time this interview goes out, then.
Indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that'll be the goal.
Because we're pre-recording this, so this will be out after you go live, hopefully. Anyway. So are you still looking for people to contribute to the project, or have you kind of got enough developers working on it now?
We are absolutely always looking for people who are interested to join. There are certainly some areas that we could use help in a lot more than others, such as graphics development. And that's pretty common, I think, in open source in general. Anyone who's used Linux in the last 10 years could probably tell you that. we are certainly open to anyone with any skill set that can help. But certainly, you know, graphics and new kind of more feature-rich UIs are going to be something that I'm personally going to be focusing on for the next large release after this one. And so getting all the graphics, you know, help that we can get would be fantastic.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because I do programming, and graphics is always the sticky bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and something like Media Center Market Land, which is very visual, isn't it? So you really need that. Otherwise, as good as the code can be, you really need that visual impact.
Yeah, you really do. You know, I've mentioned a few times before, MCML was something that was really, really difficult for me early on. But I don't know, maybe about a month and a half ago or so, something just clicked, and it's really not that difficult. There are a few things that don't, I think, make a lot of sense. But at this point, there really hasn't been any particular UI feature we haven't been able to implement in a pretty short period of time. I'm pretty happy with MCML as a language at this point, with a few exceptions of things that I think might be missing. But so developing the animations or the transitions of pages and the layouts, these things at this point are pretty quick to do, pretty easy. But adding that visual polish still in MCML requires images for the most part. And that's just something I have no experience or skill with whatsoever. So, yeah, getting a graphics artist or getting people with that particular skill set is always a bonus.
So where's a place to go then for anybody to contribute or just to find out more information on it?
Well, right now, openmedialibrary.org is very minimal, but it is live, excuse me, and it provides links both to our public forums as well as to our Google code page where the source repository is located. And the Google page allows for comments and bug or issue postings. But most of the time, I think most of the development team pretty much lives on the forums. There's been some discussion, and we may open up the forums are about twice as big as what most people are seeing right now, because all of the developer forums that we're using to communicate with each other are closed down for public use. Just because, you know, it's always more hectic in the back room than what you see in the front counter. But we have had some discussions off and on about opening that up once the first release goes out. So we may. I'm not opposed to it personally, but it's something that everyone would have to be comfortable with, because we wouldn't want, you know, any of the developers currently on the project to feel like maybe they had said something in the past on the forums that, you know, they wouldn't want everyone to know.
Yeah.
So we might, but at the very least, the forum will definitely be, or you know, anywhere on the green button. Most of us who work on the project also frequent that pretty much daily. Are great places to get in contact with us, or certainly the release will be posted in a number of places, and the files will probably be hosted on the Google page, at least for now.
I mean, it's definitely, I'll keep an eye out as well, and I'll post a link for all the details in the show notes so listeners can go straight to the post. But I think it's a great project, and it's great to see a community effort like this going into what is really a useful. It's not just a marginal, you know, feature. It's something that would kind of be the core part of Media Center for a lot of people. So I think it's really great that you've got so many people contributing to an open project like this.
Absolutely. We're certainly hoping so. And I also, you know, I wanted to mention that something that's just kind of been asked a few times recently, the current code that we have today and going, you know, all plans for the future are that we will be supporting both x86 and x64.
Oh, that's good. I didn't ask you about that, but that's one thing I was going to ask you about, because I've just moved into 64-bit, and it's frustrating. You get the installers. I've done it with my own code. It works fine, but then you come and use the installer and it won't install on a 64-bit system.
Right, yeah. We will be releasing both 64 and x86 installers for OML on the first and as far as I'm aware, all future releases.
Excellent, because I think there's just more and more people moving to that now. It's a really good stable platform, I think, for especially for Media Center. You've got plenty of RAM in there, and it's nice that the add-ins support that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
David, many thanks for your time today. It's been really great talking to you, and I'm really excited for this project because it just fits in exactly how I use my Media Center and other people I know that have asked the same thing. So I think it's a really great project, and I love seeing a community effort like this. So many thanks for your time for coming on the show and explaining it to us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, David. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/isdixon. Don't forget the user reviews. Please keep those coming in. Thanks for listening to the show. I really do appreciate it, and I'll see you next week. Bye.